Good morning. Happy Easter to all of you. Grace and peace to you from Jesus Christ our Lord. My brothers and sisters in Christ, on this most holy morning in which Jesus Christ passed over from death to life, we gather as the church to watch and pray. This is the Passover of Christ, in which we share in Christ's victory over death. This morning, we continue to place on the altar the items that were stripped from Good Friday, and Melissa will play a little bit as we do that.
Good morning to everyone on this beautiful Easter morning. Please stand as you are able for our opening prayer, and let us read this in unison. It's printed in our bulletin. God of life, through Jesus Christ, you have bestowed upon the world the light of life. Sanctify this new fire, and grant that our hearts and minds may also be kindled with holy desire to shine forth with the brightness of Christ's rising, that we may attain to the feast of everlasting light. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please remain standing for our opening hymn, number 310, He Lives.
Thank you.
Please remain standing. Our call to worship, a congregational response, is in bold in the bulletin. The stone which the builders rejected as worthless turned out to be the most important of all.
This is done by the Lord. What a wonderful sight it is.
This is the day of the Lord's victory.
Let us be happy. Let us celebrate.
You may be seated. The invocation was actually the opening prayer, so we're going to turn to O Happy Day. It's one of the songs that I was kind of hoping maybe our choir might sing on my last day here, but decided that it was a good Easter sunrise song. If you happen to know it, feel free to join in with the words as we listen to O Happy Day with the sister act. Indeed. On that note, It is a day of celebration. It is a day that we honor our Lord because he has risen. He did wash our sins away on that Good Friday, but he's no longer buried in a tomb. He is alive forevermore. So let us pray. Gracious and loving God, it is a happy day. A day that we celebrate the risen Christ. No longer on the cross, no longer in the tomb, but alive forevermore. And because you live, we also will live. So we pray, Lord, for your people here on earth, that they will come to salvation. They will come to know you and accept you as Lord and Savior, as their personal Lord. Accepting you, Lord, as the Messiah. That we can truly believe in the words that are spoken. That we trust you. That we love you. That we follow you. That we have faith. And to go and tell others about your word. About the truth. That you have risen. Oh Lord, we thank you. We ask that you be with all of those that may not believe, that they can turn and hear the words from our scripture. We pray for those who are hurting, those who are less fortunate, those whose lives are turned upside down, that don't have a job, that have lost a loved one. Lord, those who may not even like themselves. May we give them all to you, Lord, that your powerful hands can touch them and heal and bring peace and comfort. We give you our lives, Lord, for all that you have done for us. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The day of resurrection, 303. If you are able, please stand as we sing. You may be seated, and Lynn Frisbee is coming forward.
There once was a man named George Thomas, a pastor in a small New England town. And one Easter Sunday morning, he came to the church carrying a rusty, bent old birdcage and set it by the pulpit. Several eyebrows were raised, and as if in response, Pastor Thomas began to speak. I was walking through town yesterday when I saw a young boy coming toward me swinging this birdcage. On the bottom of the cage were three little wild birds, shivering with cold and fright. I stopped the lad and asked, "What you got there, son?" Just some old birds," came the reply. "What are you going to do with them?" I asked. "Take them home and have fun with them," he answered. "I'm going to tease them and pull out their feathers and make them fight. I'm going to have a real good time. But you'll get tired of them sooner or later. What will you do then?" "Oh, I got some cats," said the little boy. "They like birds. I'll take them to them." The pastor was silent for a moment. "How much do you want for those birds, son?" "Huh? Why, you don't want them birds, mister. They're just plain old field birds. They don't sing. They ain't even pretty." "How much?" the pastor asked again. The boy sized up the pastor as if he were crazy and said, $10. The pastor reached in his pocket and took out a $10 bill. He placed it in the boy's hand, and in a flash, the boy was gone. The pastor picked up the cage and gently carried it to the end of the alley where there was a tree and a grassy spot. Setting the cage down, he opened the door and by softly tapping on the bars, persuaded the birds out, setting them free. Well, that explained the empty birdcage on the pulpit. And then the pastor began to tell this story. One day, Satan and Jesus were having a conversation. Satan had just come from the Garden of Eden, and he was gloating and boasting. "Yes, sir, I just caught the world full of people down there. Set me a trap, used bait I know they couldn't resist, got them all." "What are you going to do with them?" Jesus asked. Satan replied, "Oh, I'm going to have fun. I'm going to teach them how to marry and divorce each other, how to hate and abuse each other, how to drink and smoke and curse. I'm going to teach them how to invent guns and bombs and kill each other. I'm really going to have fun." "And what will you do when you're done with them?" Jesus asked. "Oh, I'll kill them," Satan glared proudly. "How much do you want for them?" Jesus asked. "Oh, you don't want those people. They ain't no good. Why, you'll take them, and they'll just hate you. They'll spit on you, curse you, and kill you. You don't want those people." "How much?" Jesus asked again. Satan looked at Jesus and sneered, "All your tears and all your blood." Jesus said, "Done." And then he paid the price.
And so we continue with the rest of the story. Comes out of Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. Hear these words, when I find my page, that is. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, and the men said to them, "Why do you look for living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hand of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. They did not believe the women because their words seemed to be like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord. And now may there be less and less of me and more of you. These things I pray. Amen. The Gospels have very similar, yet some differences in their scripture of the resurrection. In this particular one in Luke, he has three women coming to the tomb: Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. See, in that day and time, in that culture, with the Passover and the weekend of that Passover, they could not have Christ being hung on the cross when it became dark. They must hurry up and take him down. That's why a lot of times they would take their swords and hit their side, cut their sides so that they would bleed out to hurry their death, so that they could get them off the cross, because they were not to hang when it became sundown. So when Good Friday happened and they took Christ off, they went to a tomb that was close by, and they put him in the tomb and rolled the stone in front. Now, you probably have heard this from me on some Sundays of Easter before, but as I visited Israel in the Holy Lands, we went to two places that they said that Christ was placed in the tomb. One was a ways away from the skull, the Golgotha. It was a place where they built a church over. And you could go in this little room, and it was, you know, the steel concrete type altar where they said where Jesus laid. There was no feeling of Christ's presence there whatsoever for me. And then they took us to a place that was right beside the skull of Golgotha, where Jesus had been crucified. And outside of that place was a garden. And the tomb was open. In both places, we got to go into that room and see the linen cloths wrapped and nicely placed. But at the place out by the garden, out by the skull of Golgotha, there was a presence of Jesus Christ. And for me, I knew this had to be the place, A, because I felt that presence, but mostly it was because it was close to the skull of Golgotha. They would have not wanted to travel across town to put him in a tomb when the tomb was right there. I certainly believe that is the place, and we had the opportunity to take Holy Communion. Because, see, Holy Communion, when we take that, every time is remembering Christ's bread and his cup, his death, his body and his blood shed for us. A remembrance of what Good Friday was and is for you and I. So since he was quickly placed in this tomb, the women, Mary, Mary, and Joanna, went with spices to do a proper burial, to anoint him. Now, I had in mind when I kept reading this, how would they think they were going to roll the stone away to be able to even get to him? Had they thought about that? Did they think that the Roman soldiers were guarding it? And so that the Roman soldiers would be able to roll it away so that they could get to their Jesus, their Lord, and properly bury him. But what a shock when they got there. As they got there to do the cultural thing, to anoint him, the tomb was already open. A huge stone. So big that it would take many of us, if not all of us, to be able to move that stone away. But I remember it was such a small opening that we could go in that we had to duck. So you'd go down and you'd duck in to get into the tomb to be able to see. Well, the ladies just peeked in. The tomb is open. They don't see anything. They begin to get fearful. When they're trying to give spices to the one that they love, they were being respectful. There was a variety of witnesses that were occurring on that day. The three women, and the three women were so afraid that they began to go back to the disciples. They actually were the first witnesses to see that Christ was not there. Women. They went to the men, and the men didn't even believe the women. How could that be? It is even unthinkable for us, even today. How could Christ rise from the dead? He was dead. He was buried. What do you mean he is not there? Did somebody steal the body? Did they move him to another place? What is going on? It can't be that he's just not there. Something's happened. So the men run, Peter and the other disciple, who is John. They run to look for themselves. And I think about that. Isn't that how we are sometimes? We hear something, but we don't believe it until we see it. Especially when it's the death of a loved one. It's hard to believe that they're actually gone. We want to be able to go and see them. That is why a lot of times we have, or most times, not all, but that is a lot of, we have a visitation so that we can see that person, so we have that closure and to recognize that that person is no longer with us. The title of my sermon was, Why Look for the Living Among the Dead? Why look for the living among the dead? Because you see, they went, Mary, Mary, and Joanna, Peter and John went to look, but didn't they not remember what Christ had told them? On the third day, I would rise from the dead. He had told them over and over and over, but they did not believe it, just like they didn't believe the women at this moment. And they had to go and see for themselves. And they went away wondering, do they have faith that that's what's happened? Are they joyous in that moment? Is there hope for them? See, resurrection is an invitation for us, for you and I, to live as Jesus Christ lived. But we need to also share it with others. The women were the first witnesses, and they need to go, and they went and told the others. Then the others needed to go and tell. What happened if none of that would have happened? We wouldn't have church today. And there's so many that still do not know who Jesus Christ is. They do not want to believe that could not have happened. There's still Jesus is going to come. But they think Jesus is going to come not again, but for the first time. But the good news is Jesus Christ is going to come again. And when he comes again, he will take all of us who believe in him as Lord and Savior to eternal life, to be with him forever. Because he is risen. Amen?
Amen.
He is alive forevermore. Oh, happy day. But at that moment, the women, Peter and John and the other apostles, the disciples, were confused, wondering what was going to happen to them. What next? Is Jesus really alive? Why do we look for the living among the dead? So I thought about those words. I thought not only were Mary and Joanna and Peter and John looking for their Savior, their Jesus, but many times you and I may go to a cemetery knowing that our loved one was buried there and knowing that that person is really not there. Their earthly body is, but they are really not there. Their souls have gone to Christ, to God, as they are believers, accepting him as Lord. Yet we still travel, don't we, and go to a cemetery because that's where we last were with them. But God asks, why do we look for the living among the dead? For as believers, they are not there. They too have risen. And as we believe that, we too, you and I, when we pass from this earth, we too will rise again. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
That will be another old happy day. It'll be a happy day for us that go. It's not a happy day when we lose our loved ones. If we can remember, you hear the words here? The disciples, the women, did remember. Remember what Jesus told you. Well, Jesus speaks to us today. He has risen. He has risen indeed. And he tells us, you too, if you believe in me, will live also. Let's pray. Oh Lord, in our humanness, we continue to look, knowing that our loved ones, knowing that Jesus has risen, we still want to go and look. Look in the empty tomb, look at the cemetery. Look within our hearts. We pray, Lord, that we can understand, that we can believe, that we have faith, that these words are true, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And as we believe, we too will do the same. Amen. I have the ushers to please come forward for the morning offering. Oh, Lord God, we thank you for your Son, who is risen indeed. Help us to continue to trust and have faith and hope in the future as we use these gifts to witness of this event, to be able to share the ministry, to show your love. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Our closing song is Easter People, Raise Your Voices. Easter people, raise your voice and go and share the good news that Jesus Christ is alive.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Oh, happy day. Go now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.